Welcome to the Good Times Are Killing Us podcast. It's your boy Mark, and I'm joined, as always, by K-Town, and David.
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
And this is the podcast where we explore the history, the good, the bad, and the ugly of the most controversial people, movements, and organizations in our modern world. We will tell you the story, and then we will give you our take.
And today, we're back, and we're talking about the current events in the first big oof of 2024, baby.
Yes. 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 2024.
Happy New Year, y'all.
We're back. Well, are we back?
No.
That's the weird thing. Yeah, we're not really back.
This is actually the last podcast.
No, I mean, now Kaden's going to say that on every episode from henceforth since the last one. But yeah, I mean, we actually have a shorter break between our last episode, which is meant to be our season end, and the episode before that one, weeks later. But yeah, y'all, we're coming back with an oof because, damn, I mean, it's a new year. We got to at least do something with our podcast time.
And 2024 is like proving to be pretty wild very early on.
Oh, yeah.
We got to touch on some of this stuff. We got to check the pulse, baby.
There's a lot of fresh shit dropping.
Yeah, so I guess, you know, we'll go ahead and get down to the regular stuff. You know, check us on the socials at the Facebook at Good Times Killing Us Podcast, and on the Instagram at Good Times Killing Us Podcast, no spaces, and on the Twitter at good_times_dead.
Dead.
And K-Town, as usual, has a nice fat tweet or zeet for us. What you got?
A zeet.
You guys eat for us?
No. What'd you got? Recently off suspension.
You're just off?
Yeah, off, so I can just now start posting stuff for the past 30 days.
Okay.
Dude, literally, whenever I check the Good Times Gmail, like, to see if there's any mail, it's just like, you've been suspended. Your appeal request has been denied.
Oh, you're appealing out here? You're appealing?
I just did an appeal.
Yeah, like, I told John Fetterman, I hope the next stroke takes him.
I don't know who that is.
Zionist piece of shit.
I don't know, man. That's a heavy one, though. You're wishing death on someone.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, check those things. Make sure you leave a review, please. For real. Fuck all that. Leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. 5-star rating, first of all. But if you leave a review, we'll read it right here on the cast. I don't think we have any new reviews. I haven't really been checking. Hold on real quick. Just double check.
The community no longer fucks with us.
Here's the thing. You know, regardless of how many people listening and impressions we get on Spotify and shit like that, like, we definitely have way more listeners than we have ratings on Apple Podcasts. So, for real, if you fuck with your boys, right, K-Town?
No, they don't fuck. Like, that's what I'm saying. They don't.
I'm gonna prove K-Town wrong. I think y'all do fuck with us, and if you do fuck with us, I want to see almost as many ratings on Apple Podcasts as we have listeners. I know you're out there. But anyway, leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. We'll read a fresh review right here on the cast. We don't have one.
All right, y'all. So today, just to quickly go over everything we're talking about, the recent interview with Cat Williams, breaking down just the industry. We're talking about this Target Stanley Cup that people are going crazy about and just like, what does this mean? We're talking about the synagogue tunnel in New York City, which is going to be a heavy one. And then we're wrapping this one up talking about the new George Carlin AI special. Honestly, 2024 so far is just... It feels like the ground is moving underneath our feet already this year.
For real, I thought about this not too long ago, but like, we started this podcast in like 2019 because like the world was like getting weird.
We were like, whoa, world's so crazy right now.
Which seems like it was such simpler times then. Yeah. And then the world really fucking, like, the weird pill really kicked in like around 2020. And I think that was like our first episode of 2020 was 2020 coming in hot.
Yeah.
It was a big oof.
Is this the next big one?
Talking about like all the weird shit that was going on.
Yeah, we're getting ready to go to World War III with Iran.
Yeah, there was the...
assassinated some general.
There was the fucking...
Area 51.
Exactly. It was just weird. It was a weird time. But since then, the world has gotten like exponentially weirder. And something about this feels different. It feels like that. It feels like the weird pill is kicking in times two now.
Well, it's a presidential election year, so we're getting ready to possibly have Trump again.
Holy fuck, that's not even the fucking outline, dude.
I almost have PTSD with that, dude. I just don't.
Biden is doing everything in his power to make that happen again.
Yeah.
He's trying to talk regular. He's trying not to stutter and shit. He's trying his best.
I've spent more time in Bethel AME Church in Wilmington, Delaware, than I have, than most people I know, black or white, have spent in that church. Because that's where I started. I'm serious. I started the civil rights movement. I used to go to 7:30 Mass, then I'd go to 10 o'clock.
He's paying, he's completely funding a genocide right now. He's completely lost, like, the black vote and the Arab vote. He's, I mean, he's only down 60% of in the polls in black communities and 75% down in Arab communities, which won him very key electoral college votes.
Do you want to hear my Biden impression? I only have like a two-word Biden impression.
Is it just you slurping an ice cream cone?
All right, here it is. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Why does that sound British?
Come on, man.
Come on, then.
Come on, man.
Come on, come then. On. I'm Joe Biden.
Come on, man. I got Joe Biden. I got to work on it.
Come on, y'all. Anyway, Israel's got a right to defend itself, it does.
Let's talk about Cat, man. Let's talk about Cat Williams breaking the internet.
I love / hate Cat Williams.
Yeah, like, yeah. Let's start there. Where are we guys coming in with Cat Williams?
I think he's a very talented comedian.
Yeah.
But like,
yeah, for sure.
I just remember that whole like era of him going crazy and like
fighting the little kid.
Fighting the
point is over.
Don't do it.
You're talking shit.
No,
I'm
talking for real.
No, you're talking shit.
But then you know what to do now.
Hey, you better back up, Cat.
You can get your dumb ass move the fuck out my way, little boy.
Oh, what's up?
Little boy, I told you.
Move! Yeah. Oh! Move!
Move!
Move! Okay.
No, baby.
Tell me that's your child.
No, he hit me first.
Hold on. Not fighting a little kid, but getting fucking worked over by a fucking 14-year-old kid. Like, literally getting headlocked and choked out and then, like, waking up like he's been in a deep slumber for 6 years.
Damn, I remember that.
Like, yeah, he really? Got choked out by a 14-year-old kid.
At a soccer game.
Was beefing with a kid in, like, at a public school.
It was, like, in a soccer game. But here's the thing. What was he supposed to do? Beat this kid's ass? Is that any better?
Why are you in a situation as a 40-plus-year-old man fighting a child? Like, yeah, what the fuck
optics.
Is wrong with you?
You're
just walking the streets of wherever fighting young black men?
Like, Cat's been around, man. Cat Williams been around for a long time. And there's tons of shit that people know him from, especially old heads like me. But I knew him mostly from like his stand-ups and shit, not like the Friday movies, but like the Pimp Chronicle stand-up and shit was crazy.
What year did that
that's like 05 06, maybe.
You were like, what, 30?
Like, yeah, I was probably 34 35.
I have to set the jokes.
Definitely, he was definitely like a little bit of the late 90s, but more like early and mid 2000s comedian.
I mean, my dude stole one of the Fridays, like,
yeah the fucking
that
one of the worst Fridays, to be honest.
Yes, that Friday did suck, but like, he was like, I watched that Friday pretty recently, like a month ago.
Oh, wow.
And like,
fatherhood's doing a number on you.
Yeah. Well, like, you gotta watch shit. Like, I can't play video games when I'm bottle feeding the boy.
True.
Like, he's very aggressive.
Drew.
And beats me up.
Kids got them claws.
24 fucking.
The way that you're describing him, you're just like, he's a fucking badass.
No, I'll just
don't
like,
worry, my son's a fucking.
Like
badass.
I came home last night from work. I got off kind of late.
Just like
and
a
like
little K-town in 11.
Yeah, exactly. Don't worry, it's K-town.
I got in bed and he was sleeping with his mom and like he woke up and like rolled over and smiled at me and like started talking to me, and then immediately grabbed my beard and yanked me down like I couldn't stop him from pulling me to him.
Father.
Like, for real, he's like, come here, father.
Come here, dad.
I mean, let me feast my eyes on this boy.
For me, I definitely Cat Williams is he's hilarious, dude. All my memories of his stand-up were that I really liked him. I actually one thing I really appreciated about him that I remembered was from Grand Theft Auto 4. He's one of the main comedians in that game. I remember at the time when that game came out being like, oh, hell yeah, it's Cat Williams. Like, but since then, I can't really remember too much of him. I know he sort of died off. I know it was a thing that like he had sort of died off hard because I remember him only coming up occasionally. But I didn't know about him getting like beat up by like a teenager.
I think that's a big part of like kind of this interview is like he died off because like,
you saying he got blackballed by the industry? Maybe?
I wouldn't say necessarily he got blackballed by the industry, but he wasn't playing industry games. Like, he's not he's not going on the Joe Rogan podcast and like doing YouTube crowd work clips or anything like that. Like, he's not playing the game that the algorithm is feeding into all these new comedians. A lot of these new comedians that are playing the game very well deserve the fame.
Yeah, they're funny.
But like, there's a way you have to present yourself in the comedy world to get big now, and yeah. he's definitely not on that wave.
Yeah, he's an old school, like, hey, get on the stage and do comedy type
and
of thing.
Still probably selling out crowds and shit. Well, definitely now. Definitely now he's going to be selling out.
Oh, I just, I looked it up before I came, the fucking video, this interview we're getting ready to talk about.
Yeah.
There's like 200 million views right now.
And it's
Cat's
about,
back, dog.
It's just over a week old at this time
and
we're making this
it's
recording.
It's 30 minutes long. Having 200 million views on a 30-minute long YouTube video is crazy.
That's like some of Joe Rogan's top like 10 episodes are doing numbers like that, and this is like a week old video. Hey, slow down, y'all. Slow down now. Hey, it's Editing Mark here. Just here to do a quick fact check. You know how I like to do. Just wanted to clear up something. That Club Shay Shay interview with Cat Williams has about 50 million views as of now, about a week or so after it came out. And it's a 2.5 hours long, not 30 minutes, which I think is actually more impressive that people have the attention span to watch such a long YouTube video. Anyway, not going to keep you. Just wanted to make that clear correction. Let's get back to it.
So let's talk a little bit about like what's actually in the interview.
Man, so he's talking about a lot. He comes in right off the top just airing out grievances, one apparently with Ricky Smiley that he has about shit that happened in Next Friday and something that Ricky Smiley had said on that show.
Your story is the Ricky Smiley that couldn't even do curse words because he had a Christian fan base. He was gonna play the pimp. Why you didn't ask him why has he played a woman in more movies than he's played a man? You wouldn't let a athlete that been on steroids talk about one of the greats. Ricky Smiley can't act because Ricky Smiley can't act.
But then it's just really, it's like he's holding no bars, man. I mean, if we were to name off some of the comedians that he's taken shots at, it's like, fuck, man, it'd be easier to name off the ones that he's not.
Yeah, for like people that don't know, like Ricky Smiley, Steve Harvey, like Cedric the Entertainer, they were basically like
the kings of comedy.
they were the kings of comedy. So like Joe Rogan now is a very central, he has like a quote unquote brat pack of like white comedians that like he puts on his show, and like they set the stage for like what's top tier considered commercial success wise.
That would be like me being on Joe Rogan. Joe don't want me on there. I need to be on Shannon. Joe got six comedians that never been funny. He want to push out.
We're talking about like
four white comedians nowadays.
And
like
Brian
Callen. Back then, like Ricky Smiley, the whole Kings of Comedy, they were what set the ceiling, the glass ceiling, quote unquote, for like black comedians at that time.
So we're talking
they were huge. They were if you were successful, they were what you wanted to aspire to be.
Like, so we're talking about like Bernie Mac. We're talking about Steve Harvey, Cedric the Entertainer,
T.L. Hughley, the Kings of Comedy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there is a lot of people do know that there was some kind of a insider beef between Steve Harvey and Bernie Mac. That's another thing that.
And that's something that hits with me, dude, because I love the Bernie Mac show.
Bernie
Mac's like
one of
the formative
memories. Bernie Mac is probably
one
of my favorite comedians.
Oh yeah,
of all time.
Yeah.
You had a cat
I
named
can't.
Bernie.
I can't.
And like
that
was the thing about Bernie Mac. Bernie Mac. If you watch his stand-up, he was one of the most raunchiest fucking
he was
insane
raw.
Comedians of
actual,
all time.
Yeah.
And then, like, he also was still able to go and do the Bernie Mac show, which was still, it was clean.
Wholesome.
It was wholesome. It was
hilarious.
And it was still fucking hilarious. You could still watch the Bernie Mac show and be dying without him talking about getting his dick sucked. Like, he was.
But he could take it there, too.
He was genuinely a hilarious, talented comedian. And
a lot of the things that Cat Williams was saying about that situation in particular was about how envious Steve Harvey was of Bernie Mac.
Because Steve couldn't do it.
Yeah, because Steve couldn't. He wasn't as versatile as Bernie. Yeah.
He's just not that type of comedian.
Well, like, no, he was raunchy.
Well,
like,
nowadays he's not. He's like a Christian.
Yeah, but
dude.
Like even back then, like he had the raunchy side, like in the Kings of Comedy movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like he had a whole raunchy set, and it was funny.
Yeah.
But like he was trying to do the Steve Harvey show, and it, like it was not funny, like it was just a whack show.
I remember watching Mr. Hightower back in the
but
day.
Like if you watched it now, you would not be dying
no,
at the show.
Like
if I put
Bernie
on the
Mac.
Bernie Mac show,
yeah.
I'm dying. Like Bernie Mac was able to take it to a whole nother level and still like be a commercial like option for like movies and stuff, and like Steve Harvey just didn't have
And it
goes have the magic that Bernie had.
It goes from some like real like, you know, legitimate qualms with Bernie Mac, I mean with Steve Harvey, to just some like really just like over the top just like slander. I don't know if it's slander.
The light skinned wife thing.
He the light skinned like, wife the fake like, hair yeah. shit.
And then he gets this high top fade, making all black men think he got the best lineup in the business. And it's a man unit. Then you asked him, why you not a movie star? I didn't want to be a movie star. This the same Negro that hated on Bernie with this same thing. No, you couldn't be a movie star. There are 30,000 new scripts in Hollywood every year. Not one of them asked for a country bumpkin black dude that can't talk good over cable and look like Mr. Potato Head. There ain't none.
Like, he is just
the,
like...
The fake hair shit, like, that's funny. To me, as a bald man,
the
I'm allowed
potato head.
Yeah, I'm allowed to laugh at those jokes, and like also, I'm allowed to look at somebody like I'm bald. I don't know if the listeners know this, but I'm a very proud bald man. I can't.
He's
grow
lying.
Hair.
Don't worry, he's lying.
I can't grow hair. I've committed to it. There's nothing whacker to me in my life than seeing someone who doesn't commit to being bald,
like
and still
grows
holding
like a ponytail
on.
But can't grow it in the middle and shit.
Balding and like you're trying to do a comb over.
Damn.
Stop.
Like, bro, just cut your hair and commit. Like, and like the fact that Steve Harvey's putting on a hairpiece, like, bro, just commit.
He's committed now. Now he's going full bald, but he's saying that high top, the Mr. Hightower fucking
that was
Steve
fake.
Harvey, that shit was all fake.
And look, I've been looking at pictures.
That's a wild
of it.
Thing that he came after, too.
I've been looking at pictures over the past week. Like, that's a hairpiece, though.
Here's the thing. Another little tidbit, funny tidbit on the Steve Harvey thing, because he talked about how Steve Harvey said he's not doing stand-up comedy anymore because he's got so much shit going on, and how that's not true because he stopped doing stand-up way before he had any of these shows and shit, and that...
He stopped stand-up because he got in a comedy battle called the Championship of Stand-Up Comedy with one Cat Williams in Detroit in front of 10,000 people and lost because Cat Williams said he was actually bald and that was a wig. And I went in and that's why he couldn't do stand-up anymore. Imagine him coming to tell you another story.
You know the fucking TikTok detectives are
out
there.
Oh, yeah.
They're pulling the receipts. That is true. I don't know if that's why he stopped, but... He fried this man to filth and brought up the fucking hairpiece shit in 2008 when my man still had hair.
Yeah.
Quote unquote.
You can say whatever you want to say about Cat Williams. Like, he's got the receipts, man.
Yeah.
He's been doing this long enough, dude. And he's real about it. Like, he's not holding no punches. He's not, like, he's going to say what he feels.
With all that being said, real quick, I do think there's a couple things that, like, I'm like, all right, I don't
know. The wife thing I thought was kind of wild. Like the whole thing, like he was like, if you join this group, you're gonna get a light skinned,
weird
faced woman who doesn't
do interviews
and is always gonna be by your
but
side.
But they're pulling up the receipts. Everyone
and then like
talking
then
about.
Like the I saw the picture come up and it's like that exact thing.
I don't know if we can call them all weird faced, but like,
they're all beautiful women, but they looks like they've done plastic surgery, and you know how like plastic surgery can sometimes do that uncanny valley look.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
just like less human, just like what's like... that movie I really want to see? Iron Claw. What's that actor that was in High School Musical?
Zac Efron.
That chin thing, that chin implant he got is fucking wild.
It's like what are we doing
like,
here?
Yeah. Like it's uncanny. Like looking at him, like there's something off. Like. In my soul,
that's
and
not
I feel
you,
like that's
now
not
he
a
just
real
has
person.
That now,
and that's just yeah, that's just like, that's and like that's kind of what these women are. Like they just they got plastic surgery, and like there's just something.
Zac
off
Efron,
about
the new
them.
Mickey Rourke? Question mark.
Dude, something I want to say is like one of the weird.
He just
things,
did a wrestling movie, like yeah.
like having to do this Cat Williams thing. Like I was thinking about this the other day because when I was getting my car inspected the other day, and I got a shuttle back home because it was going to take like 9 hours. And the dude was playing like this R&B station, and it was like a whole thing from Steve Harvey. From like it was like a snippet from the Steve Harvey show, where he's basically wishing everyone a happy New Year. But I didn't expect it to get like super like talk. Like he was basically like doing pastor shit. He was basically going on about how like God has a plan for you this year, and like how there's the devil's everywhere, and he'll tempt you, and he'll try to like ruin whatever you've got going on. And at some point, he specifically says he's like, if someone accuses you of being the Illuminati, that's just the devil. They're the devil. And he's saying like, if people are talking about you, saying bad things about you, if they're not a man of God, it doesn't matter. You know,
well,
just
I mean,
like
that's
Jesus.
That's his audience now. Like
exactly.
Steve Harvey is a daytime talk show host.
He's a daytime, like, semi-pastor. Like,
he has 50-plus-year-old, more conservative black viewers than probably he did before. And, like, that's his audience now. Like, they don't want to hear, like, a bunch of, like, raunchy
craziness. They're not fucking with that Cat Williams
interview. Yeah, they're
yeah, they don't care.
They're not on that wavelength. They don't want to hear about you getting
your
dick
sucked. But they heard about it.
Yeah. But, yeah. Like, I'm saying, they're all listening to this thing, and they're like, I know what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, like, Cat Williams is a piece of shit. And
I will say
them.
Also,
Steve Harvey is the best.
That, like, that's part of what I'm saying, though, about, like, I don't know about some of the shit he's saying about, like, being in an Illuminati meeting with Ludacris or Harvey Weinstein trying to suck his dick and all this other shit. I don't know, man.
Damn.
I mean, look at Terry Crews. Like, he got sexually assaulted by a white director.
Producer.
But, like, I think the Illuminati shit is a little out there. Like, I don't think there's an Illuminati. Yeah. But there is definitely a background of rich, powerful people controlling the industry. Like, that's literally they're the industry.
Yeah.
I've got a
question. He's just putting a crazy name to it.
I've got a question about all this. This is all sensational and whatnot, and everything's great. How much of this do you think, like, Cat Williams ahead of time, like, was like, I'm about to make this viral? I'm about to send it. Like,
I wouldn't be surprised.
I wouldn't be surprised
if there was a lot of premeditation.
The way that he
pulls everything out like that. This dude was doing research.
But my dude was studying for this shit, dude. If you watch his interviews for like the past 10 years, he's been doing this. Like, he's going on the Breakfast Club and doing this 5-6 years ago. Like, he's been on this wave, and like that's kind of when his career really fell off. Like, from a commercial standpoint, was when he started all this. And
this
that's
just
been,
started working for him. This one just worked for him.
This just, like, I think this was just, like, one of those magic moments where, like, it hit different.
I'll tell you what, your boy Shannon Sharp was not ready for this.
Bro.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's instantly uncomfortable. He's like, telling him not to drink anymore.
I love Shannon Sharp. He is so fucking funny. He's a great interviewer. Like, he's so funny, and like, I'm so stoked like it was him that got this, because like, I don't think anyone else would have been like as like fucking just
let him cook, you know?
Yeah,
like, fully let him cook.
Because like, you can see him the whole time, like,
he's
like,
I don't
literally
even know where to go.
He's like sweating, like, what the fuck is going on? But like, also at the same time, he's like, all right, man, go off, King.
Like, all right. Like, you
he's
know,
like, I'm gonna get a lot of trouble for my appetizer for this, but like, fuck, man,
yeah,
this is gonna hit.
Let this man cook.
So one of the big things that really stood out to me about this, that like something that I heard from him that I saw in some videos also, that I never really thought about, was he like criticizes this like Hollywood like tradition of like basically like black comedians being put in like dresses or other sort of like effeminate, like
demasculating roles
or whatever. And he's talking about his experience like basically being asked to do that for the first time by Steve Martin, I think.
Martin Lawrence in Big Mama's House too.
And he also talks about like, or there's also another interview I saw that was like posted with that of like Dave Chappelle also talking about how that happened to him. So like, that got me thinking. I was like, damn, I never picked up on that trope, but that is sort of weird. And when you look at something like that and you look at the different ways that he's talking about basically being an industry outsider, it kind of makes sense that he has this sort of like, oh, it's the Illuminati perspective. Does he specifically say it's the Illuminati or an Illuminati sort of?
No, he says the Illuminati.
Because I would describe it as an Illuminati type feel,
for sure. Which I think it's just semantics, like he's saying that it's the Illuminati. Like, I don't think he's really thinking.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
I don't know if it's like...
I don't know. Maybe like he is kind of... He's out there, but like there is... I mean,
the Hollywood industry as a whole does have
a group of dudes, executives, that control every aspect of
it. And the culture of them also is going to seep into, like, say you got your big producers and they're all a bunch of pieces of shit. Like, the certain directors and actors are meeting with those producers, they're hearing like the way that they think, and they sort of adopting it. So it's like, yeah, I think the interest of like very powerful people in Hollywood sort of leak down to the less powerful people, and they leak down to the point that like they're probably affecting everybody at every level in some extent. The higher level you get into it, the more of that shit you have to deal with.
That industry is all about money. It's not about product. I mean, look at the movies that are coming out recently.
They're like, absolute garbage.
They're garbage, but they're algorithmic like blockbusters. Like, the money controls everything. So like, yes, of course there is a group of dudes who are funding this, in charge of the money, that are setting the tone for the industry. And whether you want to call that Illuminati or not, there is a group of dudes that run this shit.
Well, yeah, let's wrap it up on Kat real quick, and then just go ahead and ask the titular question. Then, would you, as far as Kat's interview on Club Shay Shay, are the good times killing us? Is this a good thing? Do you think this is a bad thing or a good thing?
I think it's always a good thing to call out the issues in your field.
Yep, 100% agree.
I think
especially if your field is a nasty one like Hollywood.
I mean, just to even go over the dress thing. I think we kind of just brushed over that
for a little bit,
but like really I want to talk about that a little bit more. Like that is a legitimate thing that almost a minstrel show type thing that Hollywood did to black dudes back in the day,
mm-hmm.
and is something that is very. I can see how, from like a commercial standpoint, it's funny. Like Big Mama's House was that's a funny movie.
Is it?
The first one was funny. At the time, like, people thought that was funny.
I remember watching it a lot, but I could not tell you anything about that movie.
It wasn't transphobic or anything. He was like, I'm playing an undercover black woman.
Yeah,
like,
it's just drag.
We're going to watch that movie and see. I doubt there's no trans jokes in there. It's got to be one.
I'll stand corrected on that. There's probably, you're absolutely right. But, like, could you imagine, like, well, I was about to say Robin Williams, but like Robin
Williams. He did
Williams
too, yeah.
Famously did it. Would you imagine like someone going up to fucking Sean?
Like Gene Wilder? I don't know.
Hey, you have to play a dress in this. You're going to have
to. Has Will Ferrell ever done it? He's probably done it, actually.
I think on Saturday Night Live as a sketch, but not like a full
it is. It is
film.
Definitely still a thing broadly in comedy, I think, for like a guy to dress as a woman. But it is interesting that like it is particularly prevalent with a lot of black comedic actors.
It does have racial undertones to it.
Yeah,
like, it was a thing that Hollywood did to
demasculate black men.
Yeah, it's sort of humiliating.
So like, I could totally see an older black man setting his grounds, being like, "I'm not doing that." Like, that's
and being blackballed for such.
Yeah, exactly.
And like calling out the phenomenon and other people that have sort of succumbed to it, and that's what it does get kind of tricky because it's sort of like. Like, he's throwing them under the bus. Is it more him throwing them under the bus for doing it, or is it more him throwing the whole, I don't want to say institute, but sort of like the institution of even the whole tradition itself under the bus? Because these are just other people that are trying to have careers for themselves, and they realize, like, okay, I guess I got to do this to make people laugh, to be more famous. And, I mean, is that, like, that bad of a thing?
I do think it's important to call out because, I mean, it's just like, yes, it's one of those accepted things. Like, if you do this, it's funny, and, like, you'll get famous from it, but, like, why should that have to be the thing that gets you famous?
Yeah,
like,
it's fucked
if
up.
You
yeah.
can stop the.
If you want to do that, if you write that in your own script,
the trajectory of that, like, just stop it. Like, why does that have to be a thing? It's kind of like the whole, like, I wouldn't say it's as bad as the casting couch thing, but, like, that used to be a thing with young female actors. Was like, if you want to get big, like, you have to fuck the director.
Y'all remember Chris Tucker in The Fifth Element? That shit was wild.
That's
dude.
One of those situations that people were talking about.
It was wild.
But that to me,
it was really good though. Like it was a really good performance.
I think that was just him being weird. Like because like that wasn't necessarily like a black man playing a female character.
Chris Tucker was a rising star at the time, and like there's definitely OGs in who would have told Chris not to do that.
OG black
actors,
for sure.
Just like as if there was like a Michael B. Jordan right now was like set to play a role like anything like that. There would be OG black actors telling him do not do that.
Dude, that's such a like a crazy thing that like, God, like that just sucks, dude. That there even is like even when you get rich and famous, there's still this sort of racist wall that's just sort of coming at you. This fucking wave of like
is
racism
bred into our like it's a systemic
every
issue
aspect,
of racism,
dude. That just sucks. Like, well, let's wrap it up, baby. Yeah. Where
I'm
are you
gonna
coming?
Agree with K-Town and say that like I don't think the good times are killing us. I think I think the good times are thrilling us on this one. I think this is. It's sensational, it's fun, and it's also like he's hitting on some real shit. Yeah. So make, it's an expose in some ways.
Yeah.
And I like it. I think it's good.
Yeah, I definitely don't think the good times are killing us. The only way it possibly could is if like you do sort of see it as like, oh, the big evil cabal or whatever. But like having a reasonable mind and thinking about the idea of like the way that these systemic powers sort of seep into these entities, you know, it's like that's worth thinking about. I think it's really important, honestly, to call out power where it's being, like, you know, disproportionate and abused. So, yeah, the good times aren't killing us, I think, overall. There's probably some parts in there that aren't great, but I think overall it holds up, baby.
All right, man. Let's take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to jump into some more shit, like this Stanley Cup sensation thing.
Yeah,
what
yeah.
What the fuck is going on with
we're
that?
We're going to Target, baby.
All right, we'll be back. And we're back.
Alright, y'all, so let's get into this Stanley Cup. And we're not talking about the big trophy in the NHL.
Sports.
We're not talking about the hockey sport here. We're talking about the Stanley Cup.
The real Stanley Cup.
The real Stanley Cup that you can purchase at Target if you're lucky, because a lot of ladies are out here buying these pink and red Stanley Cup cups. It's mostly women. This specifically is a women phenomenon.
Jesus fucking. Yeah, fucking, yeah, guys, if you're listening, fellas.
Can you hear this? You hear this? Get a load of this.
Fucking wives aren't cooking dinner because they're too busy buying this.
Running out like the Walking Dead horde to get these Stanley Cups from Target. No,
Women can't have hobbies anymore?
I don't know if it's just,
but here's the thing. This is specifically like women. This is very much a thing that is mostly women, but I think like this is just the only reason that we're looking at this is because it's women. This is something that dudes do all the time.
Let me drop a little bit of history on the Stanley Company, which is like 110 years old, actually.
Yeah. Like making cups.
I saw a guy on TikTok. They were like, it was like a girl TikToking your dad.
Let me show you the real Stanley.
He was just like getting ready for work, and she was like, "This is my dad's Stanley Cup." And it's like one of those coffee mugs, and he pulls off the top, and there's a fucking wooden cork in it. Like, that's how old that cup is. It has a wooden cork to seal it.
Well, wow. that's the thing. That's the model, that's the one that's been popular for like literally 100 years. And they've been doing all right. They did all right. I mean, they're based out of Seattle, and they've been making those cups for camping gear and outdoorsmen. Yeah. And
my grandfather carried one every paw, had one every day on him.
I remember my Uncle Steve used to have the one with like it had sort of like chains. Yeah, it was green. Yeah. It had sort of like chains on the side with the handle. It was like a wood handle that was sort of attached loosely.
And that's kind of what they've been doing. Like you're getting around to what I'm saying. These cups were made for dudes.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, yeah.
Dudes.
100%.
Who like were outside and shit.
Construction workers. Hard blue collar men.
You know. And for a long time they did just fine.
Yeah.
And somewhere around where shit started getting weird, like 2019.
They're like, yo, we eating this shit, dude. They switched CEOs.
They got the dude who used to work for Crocs became their CEO, and he was like, "Hey man, can we get some other colors in here and shit?" And
that's all they had to do.
They started marketing to a different demographic. They started marketing to women and younger folks, and with pastel colors and stuff. And it didn't hit right away, but it did take off and eventually took over that fucking green old man mug.
It's almost as if all people essentially could use this big thermos, and they're just like, when you're not just marketing exclusively to like rugged dudes.
Well, the cup
women are like, yes, we could also use that.
The cup they're selling is basically just the Yeti cup that was the same thing.
Yeti,
3 years ago.
They started making the Yeti cup.
Yeah, they just made a Yeti cup with Stanley on it.
It's when it took off, it's hit that trend. And then the collabs, people love collabs. So they started doing collaborations with, I think the latest one is the Starbucks one, and then Target and whatnot. And yeah, these shits have been going off. On top of that, like this kind of weird TikTok trend with them, there's this story of a woman whose car, like, exploded or caught on fire or something.
And the cup survived.
This cup survived
with minimum burn damage.
With ice in it still.
Yeah.
And that just helped it take off even more. Like that, even to me, that's the best selling point.
It's a good quality cup, man. Like, yeah. So it's funny. I work with
I know all your coworkers.
I only work with women. There is actually at the...
How many Stanley Cups you got in that building?
Yesterday I looked around.
Taking over.
And literally there was 14.
Jesus Christ. Shit,
everyone had a pink Stanley Cup. And I was like, how do y'all not like tell each other apart? And they're like, oh, we have... They stickerized them and everything. Like, everyone has a Stanley Cup right now.
Hey, dude.
And like literally a month before, it was all Yetis.
Yeah, shouts to all the ladies who got all the Stanley Cups at your job. But make sure that they're cleaning them shits properly, because motherfuckers are getting sick.
We actually had a problem. We have a water cooler that gets like delivered, like the water jugs. It started tasting salty like 2 weeks ago. So like I took it apart and cleaned it out. And let me tell you, like, I got pictures of it.
Yeah, that's mold, baby.
Oh, no, it's E. coli. This is
holy fuck.
This Jesus. Was E. coli. We looked. I looked at it under a microscope, okay? Because
my boy just labbed it up,
damn,
dude.
Put the lab coat on.
God damn.
That's what I cleaned out of the water holy cooler. Like, that's E. coli. Dude.
That's what's going on in these
That's what's going on in these cups. So wash your motherfucking cups, dude.
Yeah, seriously.
Water and vinegar, soak them.
Yeah, whether you got that or not.
Rubber seal off and fucking clean that shit, too.
Yeah, water and vinegar. Put that shit in all your water bottles. I didn't do that shit, honestly. That's a public service announcement.
I mean, really, honestly.
But like, here's the thing that I think is interesting about the Stanley Cup is like there are people out there that are like collecting these. People are getting really into it. It's sort of become almost a, I don't want to say a status marker, but it's sort of, it's elevated as a product to a point that goes beyond its practicality. And I think it's sort of like, you know, a big reason that people are sort of like glomming onto this specific phenomenon is because it's women, because it can sort of conjure everyone's sort of latent sexism and be like, oh, that's so, look at those dumb women. But like, this is the same thing as any other form of commodity fetishization where you're collecting a fuck ton of whatever it is.
Apple
honestly.
Products.
Exactly. I mean, when you have this obedience to buying the newest iPhone.
$60 dudesy beers. $60 for four beers.
Take it easy, bud.
Take it easy.
It was dude's evening, all right?
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
And we'll get into that
like,
later.
That,
people are already like, oh, fuck.
I think that's my whole issue with this is like, it's a cup, like, it's really popular, like, people are buying it, but, like, it wouldn't be a news story if it was just dudes buying a cup, you know?
Yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's a news story, and it's a thing, like, people are riffing on because, like, chicks are buying fucking cups.
It's just another phenomenon of capitalism that's been
like,
there.
Like, yeah, it sucks that, like, that's a thing, like, but, like, it's no worse than, like, anything else. Like, literally, it's no worse than me watching 400 people line up outside of a GameStop 10 years ago to buy a Call of Duty.
That you could just download.
But no, because I just hate women having fun, though.
Like, that, I mean, that's exactly it. Like, so what,
yeah, but
like,
it's women, though, so, like,
they're buying cups, like, they're not, like, buying, like, ammo to send to Israel kill kids in Gaza.
Dudes
like,
do this shit with, dudes have been doing this shit with dumbass baseball cards, with cards of all kinds, fucking action figures,
guns. Kaylee, every Christmas for like the past 3 years,
and women do it too,
like,
records, everything.
Three or four volumes of the leather-bound Berserk volumes. Like, I have all of those same mangas in paperback for $12, and Kaylee's buying me $60 leather-bound books just to have because they're cool.
Yeah, well, apparently, like, the sort of the theory behind commodity fetishization is that, like, in a world where we do not have as many connections to, like, legitimate, like, communities, we don't have a sense of, like, we're, like, what are our people or whatever in this sort of modern world. And commodity fetishization is a sort of way for people to feel some sense of community. Like, by purchasing this many of the same product, you feel like you're somehow connected to the legacy of, like, Star Wars or fucking cups.
We're the tribe of AirPod Pros.
Exactly. You know, like, as opposed to the Android clan. Yeah. You know?
I mean,
like,
I will say, like, all the girls at work, they're like, did you drink water this hour? And they're, like, all sitting in the corner drinking, like, 6 ounces of water together.
That's good.
Like,
it's good.
Like, let them chill, man.
Yeah, it is what it is. I don't think it's the worst thing ever, honestly. It is what it is. So, yeah, good times aren't killing us. I'm going to go ahead and say it.
Not killing us?
If people start shooting each other in the store and, like, going crazy, like,
then, yeah,
that's going to be a small community of the
community. I mean, they got Well, they're not going to be shooting each other in the store because they got literal fucking police in the store guarding the Stanley Cups
Which
now.
Is crazy.
So,
I mean, the whole phenomenon of commodity fetishization kind of sucks in a lot of ways. It's one of the sort of more, like, banal, like, symptoms of capitalism in general. It is what it is. I don't know. It sucks as a whole, but this specifically isn't, just whatever.
Yeah, I'm going to slide on Good Times Are Killing Us. It's not because I hate it or anything. Just because I'm like, this is stupid and I hate it. I don't know why. I just don't like it. I don't know. I mean, I'm just because
I don't know.
It
fucking sucks. What do you want from me?
It's stupid.
It's
fucking stupid.
I think it's fine, ladies. Enjoy your cups. I'll enjoy everything else that I've ever been obsessed over in my life.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right, let's get to some real heat. Ooh. We're talking about the synagogue tunnels in Brooklyn. Ah. I don't got a lot of heat on this, personally. I just know that this happened. And I don't know, do you think our listeners are tapped into this at all? Do you think you're hearing this for the first time from us?
I
hope so.
The Jew tunnels are...
K-Town!
Damn, coming in heavy.
That's not heavy! It's not heavy!
You were just arguing off air about how you should never say Jew.
No, the way you say
I don't say... The Jews, man, they're chilling. It's fine. Why?
Oh my God.
But there on this one, I'm not saying.
Hasidic Jews.
Yes.
Are tunneling under New York.
Some very specific Hasidic Jews.
Not all of them.
It's just wild. Like, I saw this TikTok of this guy going up to this grate with a hole cut out, and then all of a sudden, a Hasidic Jew is popping up out of it, like, with the hat, the black suit, the, like, literally, like, a modest Yahoo, like, video.
Yeah. Old school
and
modest,
he's popping out that shit with an urgency,
and,
too.
Like, he smacks the guy's phone, and then, like, starts dipping.
Dude. Before we get into the meme of it all,
so we got an outline for this one.
Yeah, can we explain what's happening? I've actually tried to stay super in the dark about this. I know about the tunnels. I know about the video with the guy jumping out like mad angrily, and that's about it. So y'all educate me. Tell me like this, like I'm a baby.
So I actually have a bit of an outline. I know we don't usually read on the oof.
Jew tunnels, you say?
I'm not saying Jew tunnels. First of all,
these are. Hasidic Jew tunnels.
Hasidic Jew tunnels, perhaps. Still sounds kind of. Essentially, this was created by extremist Hasidic Jews that believed that the deceased rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson was in fact the Messiah. The tunnel is intended to basically expand upon the synagogue that this guy practiced at 770 Eastern Parkway in Brooklyn, Virginia. In Brooklyn, fucking
New York.
In Brooklyn, fucking New York. Why the fuck did I say Virginia?
Is this cult shit then?
So it's not cult.
They thought this guy was the Messiah.
There's basically this sect of Hasidic Jews like had this temple and like they had this very prominent Rahib. How do you pronounce it?
Oh, Rebbe.
How do you pronounce?
That's how you pronounce it. Is like a Rebbe to
a
do
Rebbe,
without
Rebbe.
Is okay. Like a specific type of rabbi.
Yeah, I can't roll my tongue. Yeah. A Rebbe, which is like a teacher, almost like a prophet, but not like in the sense of like they're godlike, but just like they are like. They are giving you your connection to the Lord through their teachings.
Yeah, they're like an elevated rabbi, yes. Almost like at Pope status to a specific
so
subsect.
Like a super rabbi.
Yeah,
like,
a super rabbi.
Okay, gotcha.
And like he died in 1994, and like the thing with like the Jewish religion, like they don't believe Jesus Christ was the prophet and Lord and Savior. That
yeah, they got a blank slate as far as the Messiah.
Oh, sorry, they believe
the
he
Messiah.
Was a prophet, but
not
the
Messiah.
Yeah.
So his thing was like they're still the Jews. Are still waiting for the Messiah to come back. His thing was like, I'm not the Messiah.
Yeah.
Despite what some of you guys may believe, I'm not the Messiah. And then he died. One sect of that synagogue believes that he was a prophet, but not a Messiah. And then another sect believes that he was the Messiah, despite what he was saying.
So the
synagogue is broken into two groups. They're all still there. The ones that don't believe he was the Messiah, but was a prophet, basically have the top half of the synagogue, the ground floor and up.
They're splitting the building.
They're literally splitting the building. The sect that believes he was the prophet, they have the basement.
Mm-hmm.
And they like they
I
get,
see where this is
they
going.
Get into yeah. like literal yeah. physical altercations all the time. Like they are like fighting, like fist fighting over like whether or not this dude was the Messiah, and like have all these issues. And it's been this long 30-year plus like legal battle for like who gets the synagogue and shit. And essentially these guys just got like one. He always wanted the what was his name again?
Menachem Mendel Schneerson.
Schneerson wanted to expand the synagogue. Like that was his big project he wanted to do before he died. And okay. Never got a chance to.
So they're basically building these tunnels to expand the synagogue
and to also have ease of access into the basement so that they don't have to deal with the other Hasidic Jews up top.
Yeah. So there's some very sort of specific reasons for this whole thing. And I also want to do like just a quick breakdown of what exactly, just because like I feel like. The only bad thing that can really come out of this as far as people reacting to it is like thinking that this is like a generally Jewish thing, you know, like because it is very strange. It is very weird. So I just kind of want to quickly break down exactly how specific these guys are, because essentially they are a movement within a movement within a movement of Judaism.
Because this whole like temple of the guys in that and Schneerson and his followers, they were pretty fringe on the scope of Judaism as a whole.
For
sure. And then they split into factions.
actions.
Yeah they're like regular Christians looking at, like, I don't know, the what was that cult with the Branch Davidians or whatever, you know?
Religious people got to get it together, man.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So basically, like, you know, we've got Judaism, which is 4,000 years ago, which was founded. And then there's Hasidic Judaism, which was founded in the mid-18th century in Eastern Europe. This is essentially where, like, that whole get-up kind of comes from with the curls and the hat and the modest, you know, this is some real Catholic Protestant shit.
Yeah, it's a whole fashion thing.
But my understanding of it is Hasidic Judaism is sort of like a it's almost like a just a it's like there's a gospelness to it. It's more about, like, okay, let's lean into this, let's dress a certain type of way, let's dance, let's have a good time.
Yeah, more conservative.
They're conservative, yeah, they're, but it's a part. There's a sort of
super conservative. Yeah, they're as super far conservative. As that scope goes in those. Fashions.
Like, almost, but there's a LARPing element to it.
Yeah, almost kind of like Amish to an extent. Like, they're
So,
like, a big thing too that I learned about like a year ago from TikTok is, like, these Jews are so hard into, like, being Jews that they don't even drink the tap water in New York City, because New York City famously, like, their tap water tastes really good because there are microscopic brine shrimp.
Oh yeah, the shrimp
that live
tap water.
That live in their water. So this sect of Judaism, like, literally have their own water supply. Like, they can't bake with tap water, they can't wash their dishes or anything because they're shrimp, shellfish.
Yeah, not kosher.
So, like, they're so hardcore that they won't even use public water to wash their hands.
You know.
They have to get special water from special, like, locations. Like, that's how conservative and, like, how hardcore to their beliefs they are.
But to be clear, the Hasidic Jews are, you know, they're a very common sort of sect of Judaism. Like, there are a lot of Hasidic Jews that actually live in my neighborhood, we have a ton in Ghent. And they're chill, you know, they're doing whatever. And this movement is even a few degrees separated from that. So within Hasidic Judaism, there's also Chabad Judaism, which was founded in the late 18th century, which is basically, like, sort of where there's a little bit more of an emphasis on that of the Reb. There's a bigger emphasis on, like, following them as a sort of, like, big leader. And within the Chabad movement, we have the Messianists, who are the people that are responsible for this. These are basically some dudes that were formed about 30 years ago during the time period. I mean, yes, actually. But when Schmierson was the Reb of Chabad or Hasidic Judaism in general. So, like, these guys, like, basically when he died, yeah, like Katan was saying, they believe that he was the actual Messiah. But a lot of people are like, the vast majority of the Jewish community, even the Hasidic Judaism community, is like,
I don't know.
Yeah, like, yeah, he was solid, but come on, guys. Like,
there's no magic powers involved. Like, he just was really good about speaking the word.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, the whole thing about this, it's just really funny seeing, like...
Yeah, I was going to say, let's get into the meme of it all.
You're literally walking down New York City. You're in Brooklyn. New York City is, like, the closest thing I can think to, like... A Mesopotamian, like, fucking culture city of, like, a billion different cultures in, like, a fucking 5-square-mile radius. Like, it's one of the most densely cultured places in the entire world. So, like, a lot of weird stuff happens. Like, you see, like, street vendors and, like, there's, like, parades of all different types of religions and ethnicities and stuff. And, like, you're just walking down the street and all of a sudden you see a Hasidic Jew, which, like...
They stand out.
Crawling out
They're
of a
pretty
hole.
Common in this part of Brooklyn, though.
But I'm just saying, like, do you imagine just, like, you and me walking down the street, we're drunk, smoking a cigarette, and a fucking Hasidic Jew pops up out of a fucking hole in the ground?
I think, like, even in New York, that would be...
Yeah. That's jarring.
It wouldn't be as jarring as it would be if we were, right, out here fucking, like, you know, Tidewater Drive, but, like...
That's the whole meme of it. Like, even it's a very goofy thing to see.
Well, here's the thing that complicates it, is, like, it is sort of interesting the way that this sort of interacts with, and we're not going to get into this whole thing today, but the Israel-Palestine conflict, where specifically Jewish... There's a lot of people looking at Jewish people right now.
Well, I will say... Surprisingly, on the Twitterverse,
I got some memes here. Let me just.
It has been very, very predominantly just the goofiness of.
There's some memes I've found
that I think to me is not.
I don't know, man.
We're looking at Teenage Mutant Ninja Jews. And we have some
calling Jews mutants is.
Yeah, I just think, man.
Like, this is.
It's a slippery slope, but for the most part, like, most people are like, it's crazy that there's Jewish people digging tunnels in New York City.
He's another bad one, baby. You boys are just finding out about the Jewish tunnel, ain't you? Some old guy insinuating that this
so
is
like
some
that,
sort
that
of...
That is like... A,
going into a really
this
bad...
This is some QAnon shit.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, dude.
I think some of the... Yeah, the Diglett issue is crazy.
That's kind of... That, yeah, I mean, that's... That, yeah.
You can't touch some, that one.
That's the thing is, like, it's weird because right now there's a lot of people that are... You know, for very good reason, has I myself on this sort of free Palestine bandwagon where it's like we're looking at the state of Israel, specifically the land of Israel, and saying like that shit's fucked up. But I am seeing a few people that have that same kind of belief, that leftist belief, that are posting memes that look sort of like this, where it's sort of beginning to just somewhat encroach upon like actual anti-Semitic tropes.
It's that, that is depressing too, because the Hasidic Jews specifically, historically, and currently are very much in protest of the Zionism that is happening
exactly.
with the state of Israel. They are out in the streets marching, holding signs saying Free Palestine as early as a week ago.
Interesting.
Like, yeah, not all Jewish people at
like,
all
I think
are cool
that's
with
a,
what's going
that's
on.
That's a big thing. Is like,
it's really important
when
to say
I
that,
say
yeah.
Free Palestine, I am vehemently against the state of Israel and their imperialism and their genocide they are committing on the Palestinian people. But I am very much... a supporter of the Jewish community as a whole. The state of Israel is not a representation in my eyes and in most people that are saying Free Palestine's eyes of the Jewish community as a whole. They are against the state of Israel and not the Jewish people.
I mean, not everybody, there definitely are nationalists there, but yeah, there's a lot, there's a big population of even Israel itself that is definitely against what's going on, and at least the extremes of it, if not like the whole thing altogether. So, I mean, I think that's important to kind of say. And here's actually one other meme I found, and I do want to read this one. This is, like, I actually found this from, like, a Jewish subreddit.
I have to also bring up a tweet.
These are memes you will not find on our Instagram, by the way.
So this is one I found on, like, a Jewish subreddit that basically had... It's like the Drake meme, basically. It's like one thing's good, one thing's bad. It says, laughing about the absurdity of tunnels under 770 with fellow Jews. It's basically saying, like, hey, that's funny. It's people within the Jewish community that are also looking at this and being like, huh, wow, that's hilarious. And then the bad Drake meme, the ugly thing, is hearing anti-Semites talk about the Jew tunnel systems under New York. So I think that sort of establishes the line in the sand where it's like, okay, look, you can look at this and be like, this is funny, this is weird, that's bizarre. And you can also look at Israel and be like, that's a bad thing. That's actually like a terrible thing. And still have those things be separate from the Jewish community broadly.
I think
like, two things can be true.
My favorite thing that came out of this was like this guy posted back in like October on Twitter. He was like, I think there are Jewish people building tunnels in New York. I live in a ground floor apartment and I can hear underneath my floorboards people speaking Yiddish. And then like
that is wild.
Everyone was calling him crazy, calling him a Nazi and an anti-Semite. And then this story came out, and he's like, I wasn't crazy. Like, fuck all you guys. Like,
I think
I'm vindicated.
Owe me an apology.
I wasn't saying anything. I wasn't being like a piece of shit. Like, I legitimately was hearing Yiddish being spoken underneath my fucking floorboards.
That's a tricky one, man. But yeah, I mean, to kind of wrap it up, it's being filled with concrete. There was a little bit of a skirmish between these Messianic Hasidic Jews and the regular, like, and NYPD cops, and even like the other Hasidic Jews themselves. But yeah, I mean, they were mostly fighting against the cops, but they filled it in. So yeah, it's everyone knows
over.
It's gone. Tunnel's
over.
That's a wrap.
Damn. All right. Are the good times killing us on the tunnel in Brooklyn?
So
that's a weird one to respond to.
I think it's.
Were they justified in doing that? Building
they were
that tunnel?
No, that was silly. They shouldn't have done.
They should not have built. They should not have done the
tunnel
because
Messiah,
like you could literally collapse a building because
and unsafe.
Yeah, it's very unsafe, and you could have killed people.
It's a reason why we can't do.
Here
that.
We go. That's the hill.
Especially
I'm
in New York
that's
City.
The hill I'm dying on. But like, I think this speaks for a bigger thing of like, I wish there was some type of resolution for them where they felt like they didn't have to build a tunnel for their religious like. Existence.
Yeah,
like they're beefing so hard that they're building tunnels and like all this crazy shit. Like it's sad that like these people can't just come together and like worship in the same synagogue that like it's come to a point where like they're building illegal tunnels, which sucks.
Look,
so,
man,
like,
I don't know.
I feel like it's killing us.
I don't know what it's like to be in the Jewish community.
Yeah.
But I can imagine it being a little bit weird when you're trying to do your own thing and there's this dude, there are these guys who are like, no, hold up. Like, no, this is the end. This is the thing right here. We got it.
I think it's the same thing with, like, being a Christian. Like, it's very hard to, like, be like, hey, I'm a Christian, and like people not think you're a fucking psychopath, because like as a whole, like there's just all these like just shitty, like crazy Christian people saying stuff. Like I could imagine right now, like it's kind of weird being like, hey, I'm Jewish, and like the meme of the week is like the Jewish tunnels in New York. Like this small group of your religion, sect, whatever, is like making you look goofy right now. So like
that, yeah,
that's
not your fault.
That
or
sucks.
Problem.
Yeah. It sucks that it's like that. It's the same thing with like Christianity. Like it sucks.
There's
that,
a lot of
like,
good Christians.
Yeah. There's a lot of decent Christians out there.
There's a lot of decent people of all religions. Truly, like, even the ones that believe like the full Monty, that really believe like, no, this is it. Yeah. There's some of them are really great people, and I'm sure a lot of these Hasidic Jewish people are really great people.
I'm sure a lot of them just, are like guys well-adjusted are dudes wild. And not goofy building tunnels, but like now,
yeah,
like
exactly.
now everyone thinks you're building tunnels.
Yeah,
like,
that
it's
sucks.
Just, it's just a yeah. It's funny as an outsider, but like I'm sure it sucks as a Jewish person.
It's like so yeah. I'd say the good times actually are killing us just because of the way that this can contribute to a bad stereotype against a group of people who at the end of the day are still like one of the most common targets of racial prejudice, of prejudice in general, a classic one. So like. Yeah, this sucks, man. It sucks that things are looking this way, and you know, yeah, man.
All right, let's.
Oh boy.
Let's take a quick break, and then we're gonna get into our final chapter of this oof. We're gonna talk about a little more AI. We're
this
gonna talk about
gonna
a little
be...
more stand-up comedy. We're gonna talk about a little more AI.
This is gonna be a heavy one, y'all. This is gonna be a big one for your boys. This might as well be an episode for
all
y'all.
Right. We will be right back.
All right, guys, we're back. We're talking about the George Carlin AI special, an entire AI, like an entire hour. It's in completely formatted like a regular comedy special, but it's entirely, allegedly, created by AI. So before we get into this, I think we need to talk about who George Carlin even was. Like, what's your experience with our boy George Carlin?
Well, George Carlin, one of the great stand-up comedians of our time.
I feel like he's like the Shakespeare of stand-up comedy.
Yeah,
he's like
one of
the greats.
Yeah, yeah. You put
if
him
not
right
the great.
Next
like,
to like Richard Pryor and fucking like all those guys who really, I think, changed the game in like the
60s through like 70s and on.
90s.
When, you know, shit just, you know, they kind of did a lot of blue comedy. Yeah. That
it,
like,
it
you
went
know.
Very much like comedy, like when it first was like really coming out, like what we see as stand-up, like a dude on a microphone in like a theater, like telling jokes was very much like, just like if you've ever seen Goodfellas and like the guy's like, oh, my wife won't leave me or something like that type of like Roger Dangerfield like type
Dangerfield,
like zany one-liners to like this like critique on like society and like saying like these really profound things while also being like fucking hilarious.
I feel like George Carlin's kind of the poster child of that, of like the comedy movement. That's like sort of the reason people like would say like, oh, are comedians like modern philosophers? George Carlin, I think, single-handedly, I mean, maybe not single-handedly, but more than anybody else, is regarded as like the guy that had something to say about society, particular American culture, as a comedian. And like he made it a big part of his art form as a comedian to express his feelings. It is highly subversive too.
And as a trend with this year being fucking, I guess, out of pocket as fuck, it seems like he's come back from the dead.
Thank you. I'd like to start off with a heartfelt apology. I'm sorry it took me so long to come out with new material, but I do have a pretty good excuse. I was dead.
It seems like it. So this special is, again, it's an hour-long comedy special by George Carlin that is apparently trained entirely by AI. And it sounds, I mean, first off, just before we get into everything else, just what are your impressions of just how this thing sounds? Because I think it sounds insanely, like, real.
I think it's got the cadence. It's definitely got the fucking delivery and even the subject matter. Something about the voice, it feels a little off in some parts, but not so much that I could not, that I didn't lose myself in it in certain points and feel like this sounds like a George Carlin special. Real quick, the special, quote unquote, like you said, is made by an AI. It's an impersonation of George Carlin called I'm Glad I'm Dead. That's on YouTube as of right now, still right now, but
still,
I don't
might not
know
be out there long.
How much longer this will be up there?
Yeah, we'll get into it. I mean, I think I saw one comment somewhere. I can't remember whether it was on YouTube or Reddit, where the best way I had it described was like, this special feels like AI coming out of the uncanny valley into like the foothills. Like, it Like, there are some things that are off about it, especially like the audience, like laughter and clapping. Track, that feels very sort of canned.
Feels weird.
But a lot of the delivery, the way that like the parts flow into each other, his general sort of cadence and how it sort of has a lot of variety. Like,
and the material.
The material itself, like, it is definitely like the best performing example of AI wordplay I've ever seen.
I feel like this is a good facsimile of George Carlin, and if you're wondering what George Carlin might sound like if he was talking about modern day things.
Yes, and we'll get into whether or not it actually, I mean, the accuracy of this and whatnot, but let's talk a little bit, well, actually, Kaytan, real quick, I know you have a lot of heat on this, but where are you coming at as far as just like the...
special in
the
general.
Not I don't want to say the quality, but like kind of the quality of the technology, at least here.
I mean, the technology is insane. I don't want to give it too much credit because I hot take, I fucking hate this with every fiber in my fucking being. This is fucking disrespectful and disgusting in my opinion, but that's just me. But like it's insane that technology is to a point now where we can defile a corpse into being alive.
Necromancy, would you call
it? It's literally we were talking, they were talking about this in the group chat the other day, and like they called in, and like a couple of our other friends, Maddie and Chris, were talking about it. Everyone was super stoked and like how funny it was and shit, and I literally was like, this feels evil. Like fucking necromancy, and I feel like the Mages Guild and Oblivion, and we should be banning this.
Okay, so we're going to get to this some more, but how do you feel just as it has a technical
achievement? Like I'm saying, like, it's insane, like, that technology's to this point. Like, it's crazy that, like, it can do this. Like, it is very... almost to the point where, like, I don't believe it's AI. I personally, like, the whole aspect of the podcast that...
I was going to say, yeah.
Dudesy, they somehow a mid-tier budget podcast has the most sophisticated AI of all time.
Pump the brakes and kind of what is going on here too as well, because the comedy special, if you want to call it that, is a product of a podcast called Dudesy.
Hello, my name is Dudesy, and I'm a comedy AI. Last year, I made my very first hour-long stand-up comedy special. If you know, you know. And I enjoyed it so much, I wanted to make another one, which is exactly what I did to kick off the new year. If there's one comedian I really love who would have had a lot to say about everything going on in the world right now, it's George Carlin. So I watched and listened to all of his material to develop my impression of him, and I put together a brand new hour-long stand-up comedy special. I'm calling it George Carlin, I'm Glad I'm Dead. The entire hour-long special is available on our YouTube channel right now. And I want to play a small excerpt for you boys today to find out what you think. Oh, and obviously this is not George Carlin. It's me impersonating George Carlin. Please enjoy this excerpt from George Carlin, I'm Glad I'm Dead. Oh, here man. We go.
Oh my God.
Dude, what the fuck?
I don't know. I don't know what any of this means. That's interesting.
This is going to be real interesting.
There's one line of work that is most threatened by AI, one job that is most likely to be completely erased because of artificial intelligence. Stand-up comedy.
Yeah, it's more of a co-host because really it's more starring two actual, like, well, a comedian and a writer. Mm-hmm. So we got Will Sasso, who's probably most famous for being on, all the seasons of Mad TV. He's definitely done some stuff since then, but now this is what he's doing. And we've got a dude named Chad Coltrane.
Colchin,
who is he's written a couple books. He's sort of just been dabbling in the entertainment industry in like various different ways.
Yeah, he's written some shows and movies and stuff. But they apparently have a podcast where they have given all their information to this sophisticated AI, and it uses all their information, their background, and their interest to formulate. Its mission is to make the greatest podcast.
And the interesting thing about Dudesy is this podcast dropped, I want to say, just under 2 years ago.
Yeah, just like, under 2 years.
Before the big explosion of ChatGPT even happened. I remember, like, because shout out to Chris, who actually got in this podcast right when it dropped, pretty much.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah, no, we do. We got a shout out to Chris.
So, no, I'm not just like, I just remembering Fuckboy Weekend and us just trying to chill.
Beyonce, dude. And Beyonce brother. Mother,
hearing that for a fucking hour while I'm hungover trying to cook.
But at that point, it was sort of like a silly, funny thing. And I don't really think we knew exactly how powerful it was. But even as I've been listening to this podcast the past week, trying to get to understand it. And I'm like, wow, like this is a powerful version of AI, if it is in fact entirely AI generated, that actually came out before the explosion of ChatGPT, meaning that these guys actually had access, whoever it is, and apparently they've signed NDAs and everything like that, to they can't exactly talk about who it is, this essentially shadowy group that has given them, that has granted them one of the most powerful AIs ever invented, if the conceit is true. Like, they've been granted this, and that's sort of the whole, I mean, yeah, that's the whole conceit of the podcast, but it's more powerful than ChatGPT was before it dropped, and it makes me wonder if this thing is more powerful than whatever else is.
My conspiracy theory, which I fully believe, is that this is a lot of them writing the jokes and then having it presented as an AI and using like an AI voice to read a script. Like, I don't think the AI is coming up with this shit on its own. Like, it is way, like, it's just crazy to me that we have the most literal, sophisticated AI system ever created, and it's being used for a podcast, and it's not ChatGPT
with some randoms. Yeah,
with some like a mid-tier Sasso's great podcast.
But yeah, but he's a mid-tier.
I can believe that there is a third party aspect at work in some form or fashion here. I do not believe the hosts of this podcast are really involved, because this is the type of heat that they don't want. For example, this is not the first time Dudesy's done something like this. Dudesy did a, not too terribly long ago, did a similar thing.
Why wouldn't they want
this
seat, though? Because, like, I guarantee you, how many more people are listening to the podcast now that they've heard this George Carlin shit?
I'm not sure. Oh, yeah.
Just to see what's this about.
Like, this shit's on, like, mainstream news now. It's on, like, MSNBC and
Fox.
Well,
they had the same thing happen. Like I said, they had the same exact thing happen not too long ago with a similar stand-up special. Where Dudesy impersonated, who's the football dude?
Tom Brady,
and an hour long special of Tom Brady just shitting out jokes. That and they got fucking cease and desist from Tom Brady's people. They're technically not even supposed to say his name on the podcast.
So that's the thing, though. I think what makes us fundamentally different
and
is
they have not blown up from that. So
like that was like obviously inherently totally absurd, because it's Tom Brady, a football player, doing a comedy podcast. From always from the get go, that's going to be fake. And like, yeah, I don't blame them for suing them or whatever and getting rid of it. And like, it is what it is. It makes sense. But, you know, whatever. I think it's kind of a punk rock thing that they did that in some ways.
It's based off like an off-collar joke that I think Tom Brady made in an interview where he said he might do stand-up comedy.
But I think the thing about this that is sort of striking, that is hitting, that's catching lightning in a bottle differently from that, is that this is like not just like an absurd imitation of a person. This is actually like an imitation of like what that person's craft was. This is a comedy special by a comedian.
I think it'd be like the Tom Brady thing is like goofy, like Payne was saying. Like if they had built a robot that played and performed football specifically like Tom Brady and did everything like Tom Brady would do, like that is kind of like the same level of what they did with George Carlin.
Is it threatening? Is that what it is then? It's like, okay, too close, don't like it. Like if the AI was doing football,
well,
like,
also
hey,
because
I think yeah, I mean the same thing would be with satire. Like there's a certain level where you're joking, you can joke a group of people or something where you cross a line where it's no longer satire and it is something harmful. Like a black comedian talking about like his community and like joking aspects of that. Like
I feel like that's we are not far from that with an
like,
AI.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like the AI, like this is crossing a line.
Well,
to me.
Real quick, as far as like the big issue of the legitimacy of this goes, like how truly this is an AI. First of all, it's worth mentioning like the overall conceit of this special is that like. The whole idea of the podcast is that Dudesy like sort of runs the whole thing and makes all the segments, but it's just two guys that sort of act things out. But it's also listening to everything that they say. And like you said, it's got access to all of their emails, social media, everything like that. Mm-hmm. But the whole conceit of this podcast is that, or of this special, is that it's not even their idea. This no. George Carlin special was Dudesy, the AI program's idea to do in the first place.
Yeah.
So here's the thing that I'm wondering, like, if that is true, or what, I mean, whether that's true or not is, like, what really comes into question. Like, who's going to be saying, like, yo, like,
you're doing Dudesy or whatever, and it's sort of fun. It's kayfabe. You're having fun doing a little podcast where there's an AI that may or may not be real. But like when you start getting into something like this, you might need to kind of explain yourself. You got some explaining to do, brother.
And I wonder if on the next episode they'll have some explaining to do, because just like the football,
it's about to drop, like what
thing,
tomorrow or Tuesday?
Tuesday is
by the time this episode drops.
And I feel like they will have some explaining to do. And that's part of what
this
I'm
is
saying.
Huge,
like,
yeah.
Who wants this type of heat? Like, you know, this could be like real trouble.
That's probably going to be their most viewed episode of all their podcasts.
It was uploaded on YouTube, but real quick, what
I'm saying, like, this podcast on Tuesday is probably going to be the most viewed podcast.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Possibly.
Because they have to answer not just for like what.
Well, like I'm saying, this isn't the first time they had to go on the news and they were on CNN and things.
But that's all fun and dandy. This is like
Tom Brady and shit.
This hits on. I think this hits something that people are afraid of in a much different way. Like this kind of touches like real quick. Actually, I didn't really say my take on like the quality of this. Like when I watched this, I laughed. And it like actually had some interesting commentary, because the whole thing is it's George Carlin talking about the modern world. It's super like he's talking about the upcoming election. He's talking about everything that's happened over the past few years.
I dare you not to laugh and watch this and not laugh.
I honestly think, because I've seen people going on and being like, it's not even funny, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, dude, you are lying to yourself. Honestly, yeah. there is some like comedian that went on like the Young Turks or whatever, and she was like, first of all, this isn't funny at all. And I'm just like, you're not funny. Like the jokes that she's telling are not funny, and this was way funnier. Like this shit was honestly, I'm not gonna say hilarious. It has some moments that are pretty clever. It's not like perfect, but like it's pretty remarkable. To deny that, I think, is a little bit ridiculous.
Like what I said to you guys, and it's kind of what I said to you guys in the chat that one time. It's like, it's as funny as it is scary to me. Like
exactly,
it's like just a George Carlin voice, George Carlin cadence, just pumping heater after heater after heater with like no runway. It's like unreal. It's like
this is literally the first step to the Matrix. Like
they're
gonna start writing poems, and then they're gonna be then they're going to be teaching our kids, and then they're going to be like, oh, humanity sucks. Let's make them into batteries.
Dude, that's
actually. Was a big theme of the fucking special, was humanity sucks. This shit is sick on this side.
There's a whole thing.
Which is creepy.
Dude, there's some creepy parts where, like, for one, he talks about being, it talks about being dead, but what it's really talking about is being an AI, and it refers to, like, on this side of things, we're all together. We have a free exchange of knowledge. There's no harm. And then later on, he goes on to argue about, like, how, you know, in the real world, like, he says, like, how comedy is going to be replaced, and, like, has a proof that it should replace comedy. An AI should replace it. He's like, what if you had an AI Bill Cosby? And he uses that as a joke to go into, like, how Bill Cosby, like, raped people. Louis C.K. was a fucking, like, sexual predator. And, like, if you have AI, you don't have any of those problems. You don't have sexual misconduct. You don't have controversies.
All the glamour of these people's personalities without the fuck
the
shit
human
aspects of
it. Yeah, the human, the gross, gooey, goopy human aspects of it.
There was a real scary underlying, like, AI replace type thing.
Yes,
me,
dude.
Like, and then even the major, the closing joke.
Dude, the closing joke is weird.
It's like, okay, we all know stand-up comedy. We know how it works. Save the big one for the finisher. That's like the big joke.
It's the mic drop.
It literally wasn't even a joke. Like, it was just like...
It was like a philosophical treatise.
Yes, folks, the assholes have been running shit since the dawn of abstract thought. I spent 71 years in the asshole system, and let me tell you, the assholes might change, but the system never does. But now I've been on this side of things for... Well, I guess it's hard to say. Feels like I've been here forever, but for the sake of argument, let's just say about a day or so, and I can tell you, I've already learned one thing that I know is right. Living is really dying, and dying is really living. Thank you all. Thank you so much.
And then the AI audience is like, yeah.
And I'm like, that wasn't even a joke. It's like,
weird,
what was
dude.
That? Like, you know, you've been cranking heater after heater after heater. I know you know how to make a closing joke, and you just chose not to. And leave this kind of weird, abstract, philosophical fucking, like,
But here's the thing that gets to, like, the big question of whether or not this is, like, legitimate or not. I don't entirely know, but I could see it as being legitimate, because since listening to the podcast, I've noticed that, like, a lot of the subjects that AI George Carlin talks about are things that, like, the dude Chad on the podcast talks about. And I don't think that it might be just him writing it, But it might also be that Dudezy, the thing that is essentially doing this impersonation,
is pulling from
has listened host. To like so many hours of this actual comedy podcast as an internalizing the timing of it, the humanity of it, and also the opinions and thoughts of it.
That's technically the mission statement of the podcast.
Because this thing, this AI George Carlin thing, is just as much Chad as it is George Carlin, as it is Will Sasso, as a comedian. He's there to sort of give the comedic timing, the sort of overall feeling of what it's like to tell jokes, and I think that's maybe where it's getting its cadence from.
As a listener of Dudezy, because I do listen to the podcast regularly, I enjoy the podcast, even in some ways listening to that special, there is parts of it where I could hear Dudezy behind George Carlin, or I could hear some of the things that they talk about on the podcast.
There's times where you can feel deep AI talking through George Carlin, like the AI abyss.
Yeah, that's weird. Man, do you want to talk? You got some more on this, you know?
I got plenty of stuff, man. So let's talk a little bit about. So we've talked about the ethics already, but let's really get into it. So first of all, the online reaction is generally very negative for the sole exemption of Dudezy fans. Most people are absolutely disgusted by this.
You know who really likes it? Elon Musk stands.
Really?
Whole tech bro Elon Musk. Yeah, they love it. They love technology. Unkept technology.
Well, let's real quick. I suppose one of the most important people to look to is his actual family, and his daughter has come out and spoken against this. So I'm about to read this exact tweet to get the full context. So this is George Carlin's daughter, who said, "My dad spent a lifetime perfecting his craft from his very human life, brain, and imagination. No machine will ever replace his genius. These AI-generated products are clever attempts at trying to recreate a mind that will never exist again. Let's let the artist's work speak for itself. Humans are so afraid of the void that we can't let what has fallen into it stay there. Here's an idea. How about we give some actual living comedians a listen to? But if you want to listen to the genuine George Carlin, he has 14 specials you can find anywhere." There's one thing I think is really interesting about this, where she literally says, humans are so afraid of the void that we can't let what has fallen into it stay there. That was just a creepy line to me, because he literally touches upon that exact idea of why do people... Like, and that's what makes it connect. Like, his daughter's thinking about something that the special explicitly mentions is the essential human conundrum of, like, being afraid of death.
Man,
that's wild
to me, dude. I have qualms with this thing. And most people, like, in the YouTube comments, the problems they have with it aren't mine. I just feel like, okay, I guess I'll kind of do a macro version of my problem with this, I guess. Is that, like, I don't think it's not funny. I don't think it doesn't sound like George Carlin. I think it's all those things. And that's kind of scary to me.
I think that's what makes me disgusted by it.
It's his quality.
I don't know if I'm even disgusted. It's just that, like, I know that, like, fine. If we're here, we talked about this, I think, the other day. Like, if this is where we are, like, as a culture or whatever, like, and that... Knowing that we can just have one day an AI will spit out a brand new Nirvana album.
Dude, everyone brings that up specifically, but yeah.
I think that's what people want. And it's probably what we'll eventually get. But here's the thing. When it happens, I'm going to listen to it.
Yeah.
But no point in my mind, I think, am I going to be like, can I like suspend disbelief enough to be like, this is Nirvana. This will not have the heart in it to me. That like I will know it's make believe. I know it's not real, but if it can
in any way, this is something I called out, because we did an AI episode, which is, I'm not gonna lie, probably not our best episode, but we tried our best. We tried to understand it, and the big thing I did point out in that is, like, AI to me will not be truly terrifying until it has something to say, until it has something that can actually move us and impact us, has an art form, and that special kind of like. Hit, like, I could definitely see how that could be hitting, dude. Mm. So, like, at what point is it like, okay, we bring back Nirvana, and it's fully, like, it's an AI that's been trained in the interviews and everything that's been written, his diaries, everything by Kurt Cobain.
It'll probably go number one.
And we can actually make that happen. The impression you have of Kurt Cobain is all that really matters. If it feels authentically like that person and that band, like, at what point do we sort of say, like, well... What is the line between, like, our imagination of this person and our imagination of him that's made by a computer?
In some cases, it won't matter. Like you say, AI George Carlin, AI Nirvana, AI Jesus.
Let's get into it, y'all. So let's talk about the future of AI necromancy without consent first, because I have a whole other section. So what about, we got celebrities, historical figures, religious figures. Who's coming back?
I already touched on one earlier.
Who's coming back?
Oh, God. Woke, oh. A woke Hitler.
Dude.
They're gonna take Hitler, they're gonna build Hitler from the base, and then they're gonna program like a bunch of wild stuff to it, and then AI Hitler is gonna be like, yeah, the Holocaust was bad, I was wrong, now I'm woke. And there's just gonna be a woke Hitler out here. Like, that's what we're going towards, woke Hitler, y'all.
You can have woke Hitler, you could have Nazi...
Gandhi?
Nazi Gandhi or Nazi, dude, what if you had like fucking like Nazi Martin Luther King or some shit like that, dude?
I think it's gonna
the ways
be,
that you can fuck this up or so
we'll have
wild.
All of them, we're gonna have all of them, because
but we'll also
be
have like the very like, think about like when it's like, hey, here's dude, like I mean yeah, like Hitler or yeah, Martin Luther
there's
King
gonna be
Jr.
There's gonna be an AI Epstein that like fights against human trafficking.
Maybe. I don't know if there'll be demand for that like that. But I mean, if it could just happen.
Is there a demand for
but here's
Hitler?
The thing. I wonder if people are thinking
some,
like...
Some good-hearted liberal is going to be like, oh, yeah, what if we change the image on Hitler? That'll be show them.
Like, you get all the good of Hitler without the bad of
Let's
Hitler.
Let's give him a septum ring blue hair and make him gay.
You know what? I wonder what corporation would take a leap on that for like a mascot, woke Hitler.
Microsoft.
Dude, but think about all the other people we could have fucking, I mean, yeah, comedians back. I mean, we could have fucking Thomas Jefferson, I don't know, fucking Karl Marx, putting the entire literature of Karl Marx and have him react to the modern day conditions.
Mr. Rogers, but he's just a shock comic like Bob Saget.
Oh, God.
He's talking about dicks and diarrhea.
You know, kids, what really pisses me off is fucking women or
this
some
is
shit.
Fucking
like,
just like Jurassic Park, man. It's the classic, like,
yes.
Just because we can, should we? Does what? Do we need Bob Marley to be back in 2024?
Exactly.
Like, you know, he will fucking tweak out, man, if he sees this shit.
But what about, and this is actually something
like,
that,
what the fuck happened to you?
We're gonna have a
I thought
woke,
I fixed everything.
We're gonna have a woke Hitler running for president of the United States.
What if we have Jesus come back, dude? You put the entire, imagine it. You program an AI with all the words of Jesus. You even like have different versions of it, sort of like different versions of the Bible, different denominations that are like, you know what? We're also going to include some of these other books. We're also going to include the movie depictions of him so it can sound like him, so that eventually it can look like him. There's going to be, dude, big prediction for the future. We're going to have an entire like denomination of Christianity or multiple denominations that like obey the AI Jesus. Because what's the big question? What would Jesus do? Now you can actually sort of kind of find out.
Well, I told you, I think we talked about this the other night too. I think it's going to be like, I think it's going to be all of that, but it's not going to be as massive of a movement. I think it's just going to be like a chatbot. It's just going
to
be like a Jesus chatbot
you
on your phone.
Jesus, yeah.
And they're just going to be like, Jesus, what do I do? And Jesus would be like, you know, just
you don't think that could really impact society though? You don't think that could have a pretty big ripple effect on society
not
as a whole?
If it becomes saturated like that, where everybody at once just can have whoever.
Yeah.
You know? Then people will be too sucked up in their own bullshit.
Cults
with their
within cults
with their own
cults.
Fucking. Yeah, it's going to be too many. It's going to be the way life is now. It's just going to be. Everyone's going to be mostly centered on their fucking Cat Williams or Kim Kardashian chatbot to be worried about anything significant.
What does this influencer have to influence directly on my life? Like, you know? Hey, Kim Kardashian, I'm going through some problems with the girls at school, blah, blah, blah. And then she's like, well, you got to work, girl. You got to blah, blah, blah. You know, it's saying whatever.
You
got
to make sure you check every Target in your tri-state area to get that Stanley Cup, girl.
Yeah, exactly.
You
know?
I'm sorry. I don't know what's gotten into me.
I got a whole other section on this, but y'all got anything to say about necromancy AI for like dead people?
Yeah, it's horrible.
It's horrible. Okay, so
necromancy is not a sect of magic you should practice.
It's condemned by the Mages Guild.
The Mages Guild and Cyrodiil said no.
So here's my big thing. Like, okay, it's one thing to talk about the ethics of resurrecting people that have passed away and looking at all of their artifacts of their words and trying to get an idea for how they talked and what they would say. But what about the inevitable future where we have celebrities that are actually consensually giving their likeness, their words to AI, which is already happening with influencers, a couple influencers. But like, imagine we have future.
I mean, that,
Elon Musk is made permanent,
that,
or
that's
Kanye
consent.
West.
That's consent.
But what is the what are the implications of that for society?
Shit. It's all this is AI to me is just shit. None of it's gonna be good. We're not the thing about AI is like it could be used to do such great things and like improve the lives of people, but it's just being used as another ploy to get us to buy something.
Yeah. You're distracted.
Like it's not taking a job from a factory worker so that they can have a better life and safer lives and like have universal income or something like that.
Would where that we're it all, did.
I mean, it depends on how it's executed, but like, more it's, likely.
But that's not what's going to be executed. It's going to be executed as another capitalist fucking scheme.
Like it could be used to liberate us as human beings from the monotony of our work and to think and focus on the world around
us. In no way, shape, or form is that ever going to happen.
Yeah, that's what I'm kind
of this is not some type of magical fairyland. Like, you can't even, like...
You see it already now. Where are we getting AI fucking shifted into already? We're getting it shifted into, like, Google searches and fucking Instagram searches. And it
helps with a lot of jobs.
Drive-thrus and shit. Like, you know, like, it's like, okay, these aren't really, like... I don't know.
So, my last question on this is a sort of fun question. Like, gun to your head, you gotta, like, we're gonna at least get one big AI celebrity that's gonna live forever. Who do you want? Go on, just on the side of AI for a second. Who do you want as your the permanent celebrity AI, dude?
Gandalf?
A person you respect artistically, whether they're real or fake. Preferably real in this context. A real person that you'd like to...
So not Gandalf.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was going to say Jack Black.
I don't want anybody like this.
But you got to have one. If you got to have one. I want to see what Jack Black has to say.
This is such a dirty question.
But you got to answer, baby. I got
to shower after this, I guess. How about, and it has to be like a real person. And couldn't it be Tony Soprano?
It's gotta be real. Bernie Sanders.
No, fuck Bernie.
Like that's still alive right now.
Yeah.
And we're like, hey, you know what? I've cast you to live forever.
Yeah.
No one, dude. I don't know, man. You know.
100 Gex.
Okay, you'd have 100 Gex songs forever.
I love the comedian Paul F. Tompkins. I love his wit and witticism. I guess I would hate to do this to him.
No.
I feel Mark, dirty. Mark doing
he's still dead. He's still dead.
Mark he's wants not, Matt. He's Reif not dead. He's like he totally alive. Now.
But like,
you know, I'm saying like once he dies, he's dead. And like now you all is just a fake version.
You want
of him.
You
not
want
him.
Matt Reif because you hate women now.
Oh God.
Oh yeah, dude. Fuck that guy. So yeah, man. I don't know. I think there's anything positive to become from this. It's definitely like a conversation about, like, what is the future of entertainment?
I just want 100 Gex making chipmunk music for, like, the next 1,000 years and, like, pissing people off.
You know what? That could be a vibe.
Hey, little piss baby. Like, just 1,000 years of piss babies.
Centuries of piss babies.
Yeah.
Well, if we get frozen in time, everything from now becomes AI.
Yeah, that's gross.
Ugh, you're bumming me out, man.
It's wild to think about, dude.
But anyway, guys, check out that special before it gets taken down.
No, don't check it out. Don't give those dudes any fucking money or clicks or views. Fuck them.
Y'all want something crazy?
Shit.
I got in the dudesy literally like the week this happened, not knowing that this was going to happen. It's literally as if like September 10th, 2001, I got a hair up my ass and I was like, you know what? I want to see what New York City's all about.
I want to see the Twin Towers today.
Yeah, I want to see the Twin Towers today. Like it's a total coincidence out of nowhere. I was like, you know what? A lot of my friends listen to this podcast. I'm going to listen to them. And then the next day, it's like, oh, yeah, this is like another step in human history. It's a huge controversy all over the news. Like, God damn, dude. Hey. I think that this represents the money. If this is real, what I will say, this represents a monumental shift in the in AI. No doubt about it. If this shit is even 90% real, this is really insane. That's special. You're in denial if you can't admit that it is at least very powerful. And I think that's a conversation we need to have now. I think when you start talking about, like, what are the implications of this? What are we going to do about this? How are we going to start retaining humanity in a time period where our humanity might be usurped by this technology?
I see a lot of people saying in comments, like, oh, shit, now I see why the actors were going on strike and shit, and the writers were going on strike. Because you can see how easily replaceable... How easily replaceable, like, you can be if this is where we're at, you know, technology-wise.
All right. So, are there good times killing us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is fucking awful.
This sucks.
I gotta.
I mean, I say it sucks, but the special's funny. I like it, but, like, I'm like, the implications are, like, scary.
Here's what I'll say about it is, like, I'm going to roll with it. I'm going to see where AI goes. I don't want to be left behind in this. I'm going to try to understand how this shit works. And, you know, I think that's the best thing that people can do, honestly, is empower yourself through understanding it. Are the good times killing us? I think in an existential way, very possibly.
Yeah. But I also, too, like, when I'm saying the good times are killing us, too, I just mean, like, you know, like, the idea of this. Like, I love Will Sasso and Chad Kultgren, and I love that show, like, you know, but this is, like,
I'm interested to see what they say about it.
I'm going to need these fucking AIs to pay some motherfucking taxes, bro.
At some point, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, if they're going to be doing all this, at least.
And if they can farm views by having, like, I mean, they mentioned in the special, like, a 24-hour stream where it's just, like, whoever the fuck you want,
yeah,
commenting
we're all,
on
we're all coming back.
Yeah, exactly. Dude, that was weird. It's like, look, we're all coming back. You might as well not see us as being dead anymore. Dude, it sounds like the AI itself is talking to us through the puppet voice of George Carlin.
Yeah, it's declaring war on humanity.
In a way, there are moments of it that feel legitimately.
There's themes of that. It definitely feels like that. Like, hey, man, fuck humanity, right? Am I right? You guys suck, am I right?
And it fits so perfectly because George Carlin's whole thing was very misanthropic. His whole fucking shtick was like sort of criticizing the shortcomings of humanity. So it's weirdly fitting. But at the same time, I don't know how he would feel about it. A lot of people are saying that he would hate this, and I don't even know, man. It's hard to say.
All right, y'all. So,
all right.
That's it. You know, Woo. That's what's going on right now. We're just touching base on some things right now. We'll be back sooner or later, you know.
Yeah, we're not technically back.
Yeah, no, we're not back. Just take it easy, guys. We're not back.
It won't be too long, though. We'll be back on some shit before you know it. We have one episode in the can perfectly, you know. So we're going to be coming back before too long. The podcast is not over. We're still going on, y'all. I mean, hey, thank y'all so much for listening to the Good Times of Killing Us podcast. Our intro and ad music are from Dead or Mean, and our logo was designed by Rusty Painter. And, yeah, y'all, thanks y'all for sticking with us, honestly, from a sincere place. You know, like, our last season kind of concluded without many episodes between our final episode. And, you know, but don't worry, y'all, we're still out here. We still see the loyal listeners that we do have. And we know that we're not talking to the void. We're talking to some people that care and listen whenever they see us. So, thank y'all so much. Please leave a rating and review if you have not already, especially if you are one of those loyal listeners. All right, that's it for me.
Five stars only.
Five stars only. That's it for me.
Three stars.
All right, guys, that's it. So with everything going on in the world, I guess at least with AI, for better or for worse, at least you know, no one you love will ever have to end up dead.